If they want to get you, they'll get you. The NSA specifically targets the communications of everyone. They're collecting your communications.
Okay, everybody. Happy Thursday evening. The revolution continues. We can still commit thought crimes. For now, joining us tonight is fan favorite, 10 out of 10 rated, Blake Neff. Say hi, Blake.
Hello. That's where he goes, hi, Blake.
Andrew.
Andrew Colvett, yes. Hello.
Producer Andrew. And Jack Posobiec.
I can't wait for the Halloween episode where Blake is like, hello, welcome to my lair.
Okay, let's dive right into it. Jack, true or false? We got a tranny fired.
True. 100% true. Although, if I might add, the tranny has not just been fired. This is in the quote-unquote Sarah Ashton Cirillo, a.k.a. actually known as Mike Ashton Cirillo, the spokes tranny for the Ukrainian military. Not just fired, but actually placed under military investigation. So, very excited.
Not a good thing to be. Under military.
So do we have the tape. We have the tape of her talking about the Russian devils. And then the question is, was there a Russian devil that was taken out by other means, which actually segues to our second topic? We'll see. That is a real thought crime. But Jack, build this out. You're on some sort of Ukrainian hit list. The Ukrainian government wants you dead. But let's go through. Play cut 22.
Hey, they can take a number.
Play cut 22. If you are a man, do not take estrogen. It does weird things to you. Play cut 22. Okay, stand by. So, Jack, tell us about it, and then we'll get to it.
So, the Ukrainian government, specifically their intelligence service, the SBU, has this website known as Mrovorets. And Mrovorets is this, it translates roughly to peacemaker, but it's been referred to as a kill list or a hit list where they will place people that they consider to be, quote, enemies of Ukraine. And now Elon Musk appeared on this list at one point. The Pope appeared on this list at one point. Tucker Carlson, Glenn Greenwald are on this list. And while we might think it's funny or silly, there's actually an American hostage right now that's being held by the Ukrainian government, a blogger and YouTuber by the name of Gonzalo Lira, who was living in Ukraine and was posting on his YouTube channel that he disagreed with Zelensky's government. He was then summarily arrested by the special services of Ukraine and has since disappeared. There have also been people that were placed on this list, including an Italian journalist, Andrea Rocelli, and numerous Russian bloggers, as well as one girl who's the daughter of a Russian political figure, who were assassinated in Russia using car bombs and other improvised explosive devices after being placed on this list. After their killings, their entries on this dossier list wrote liquidated. So I was placed on this list, and I was made aware of that earlier this week, right around the same time that you were really exposing everything this American, I guess the word is American recruit for Ukrainian forces, Ashton Cirillo, was saying in this completely unhinged rant, saying all Russian propagandists will be hunted down wherever you are, and your teeth will gnash as we show you justice. He's not the one who was dishing out the justice. It turns out he's actually the one who's facing justice now.
And so let's play the tape here, and this is now play cut 22.
Russia hates the truth that their obsessive focus on a Ukrainian volunteer is simply allowing the light of the Ukrainian nation's honesty to shine brightly. Next week, the teeth of the Russian devils will gnash ever harder, and their rabid mouths will foam in uncontrollable frenzy as the world will see a favorite Kremlin propagandist pay for their crimes. And this puppet of Putin is only the first. Russia's war criminal propagandists will all be hunted down, and justice will be served as we in Ukraine are led on this mission by faith in God, liberty, and complete liberation.
So, interesting headline here from Axios. Zelensky's frosty welcome. I'm going to read from Axios and tie this together. And Blake, I want your comment on this, okay? 9 months ago, somebody's phone is buzzing a lot. So 9 months ago, Andrew. Zelensky received a 2-minute standing ovation from both Democrats and Republicans. This looks like a distant dream compared to what Zelensky has faced on his second wartime trip to Washington. Some lawmakers are openly mocking Zelensky. Privately, coalition is building against Zelensky in both parties. Driving the news, Senator J.D. Vance and Chip Roy, six Republican senators and 22 House members, sent an open letter saying no more money to Ukraine. Blake, is it possible that our tweet reached 5 million people? We talked about it on our program that the CIA Ukraine, let's just say, access or, you know, coalition, they said, look, not a great idea to have a trans spokesperson who's threatening Westerners in English if we're trying to get more money out of Americans.
I think it is a very real possibility. I would be stunned if there was not a phone call that happened somewhere along the line that just says, like, dude, you guys, like,
you're not helping the cause.
To make this work, to keep the funding going, they need a bipartisan thing. They have to make this a nonpartisan issue, yes, by having people on
blank
both sides.
Blank check, just got to continue.
If this becomes a Democrat versus Republican issue, Ukraine stops getting funding. And the fastest way for that to happen is if Ukraine's, like, English-speaking mascot is this, like, dude.
Who's an American passport holder.
An American passport holder who's grown breasts due to the hormones that he's taking. Breasts. And makes these bizarre videos where he's, like, faking some voice to sound, you know, like, we will.
But are we supposed to believe, this is what's interesting to me, are we supposed to believe that nobody in the hierarchy of the Ukrainian military proofread this speech? That, no, that was just the spokesperson. They're putting this person aside.
Spokesman.
Yeah, spokesman.
We've got to be firm on this chart.
Okay, yes. Got it. Spokesman. Spokes dude. Okay.
Spokes trans.
Spokes trans.
But Andrew, I think you're the best at this. Brag on our show and Jack a little bit. We were just kind of a ragtag remnant with no Tucker Carlson, because Tucker would have done this himself, right? Tucker would have handled this in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But, hey, there's a little bit of fight left. This is an interesting little another wrinkle of the power of our audience.
No, this was a 100% takedown. I said that Jack and Charlie single-handedly took this down, but it would be like double-handedly took this dude down. Yeah, and by the way, one of the things, Jack, sorry, I'm having a little trouble with my FB. One of the things, Jack, maybe you know the details on this, Sarah Ashton Cirillo is actually a registered Republican. His bio is like from the state of Nevada, was active in politics as a Republican, which, you know, should tell you something about the state of Republican politics, often at the state level. But what's crazy is, I think you actually flagged the tweet. Mm-hmm. You found the video.
It was posted by one of those, like, hardcore Ukraine watchers. Yes. Highlights, like, who probably is, like, a Russian propagandist.
Right.
Actually.
And actually, the original narrative was like, look at this trans Ukrainian or American that's now in Ukraine going viral on the internet. And we're like, that's not viral. That's disgusting and, like, terrifying. Gnashing of teeth, foaming. So it was like, we got to blow this up. You blew it up. And instantly, we get this. Actually, it was three steps. Blew it up. Everybody starts posting about it. Jack, you were definitely like in the mix. You might have posted before Charlie posted about it, but I didn't see that. But it then Sarah Ashton comes to the United States, gets honored by the Las Vegas City Hall, gets a certificate of recognition from Dina Titus, from Catherine Cortez Masto, from former Governor Sisolak, that then the Smithsonian says, we want one of your uniforms, your Ukrainian military uniforms, for the Smithsonian. And then the next day, the very next day, we hear this second recording. I don't know if we have it, but it was like completely changed in tone. Sarah Ashton Cirillo, Big Mike, was completely different. It was very subdued. You could tell that whoever caught wind of all the negative press...
Real chatter and...
From conservatives.
Yes.
And meanwhile, conservatives are arguing about this $24 billion in Congress that Joe Biden is requesting. Congress now has this 9:30 deadline. Zelensky's planning to come over to win support. Meanwhile, you got this crazy tranny talking about foaming at the mouth and gnashing the teeth, all this
hunt
stuff.
Down the hunt Russian down. Devils.
Yeah, and by the way, it was a point you didn't make. It was in English on purpose. The audience for this was Westerners.
Make that point. But
I will suggest, like, so first of all, this Cirillo character doesn't know Ukrainian or even Russian,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, he doesn't.
And so he basically is communicating through Google Translate. Relative to a lot of countries, Ukraine has a lot of people who don't know English. I mean, that wasn't taught there in the 70s or 80s for sure. It'd only be like the youngest people who know it. So I would entertain the possibility that between this guy, you know, being a little nutty, if, you know, superficial evidence that that might be the case, and not knowing the language of the country that he's fighting for, that you will, and them not all knowing English, I think it actually is possible. This is basically this one nutball who's essentially being allowed to, like, be
that's even more concerning that the Ukrainian war effort, you could just have some random trainee going off.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah. And I mean, maybe it's a failure to understand domestic politics and understand how charged the trans issue is, especially with conservative America and really independents and swing voters. It's wildly unpopular, actually, but outside of the radical, loud minority on the Democrat side. But here's what I'll say. So then you get this message that's completely scaled down. Then you have Zelensky coming to D.C., right? In like a day or two, instantly fired. But here's the other thing that happened. J.D. Vance saw all the coverage that we were blowing up on social media, wrote a letter asking for more information. And here's a final piece of evidence. In the follow-up video where Sarah Ashton Cirillo was toned down, Sarah Ashton Cirillo said that he was answerable to three people. It was like Ukraine. I don't remember the
God
second.
God and liberty.
No, and the American taxpayer.
Yes, that's right.
So Charlie's whole point was, who's paying for this? Why are we paying for this crazy psychopath to come threaten Westerners that if we don't toe the line, we're going to be on some hit list like Jack? And then sure enough. Oh, see, somebody's phone's vibrating and Charlie's phone is jingling.
No, it's totally my phone.
Yeah.
None of us is without sin.
Except right. Cast the first stone. So all of this played together and then boom. Big Mike gets sidelined.
Big Mike.
And here we are. But I mean, I have to say, the power of this audience is incredible. We had the New Hampshire 14th Amendment deal where the New Hampshire Republicans backed away. We had the Ken Paxton deal where we blew up the phone lines of the Republican senators and apparently made their life miserable. I'm not saying that's necessarily a good thing, but I'm saying we had a massive impact, got written up in a bunch of places. And then Sarah Ashton Cirillo gets canned by the Ukrainian military. These are like global, national import type of subjects, and the power of this audience, hat tip to you guys.
Yeah, so Jack, let's build this out even more. So the tide is turning, and it's remarkable how relentless this program has been. I got to brag on Steve Bannon's War Room, the Charlie Kirk Show, Jack Posobiec, also Turning Point Action. Jack, I really believe one of the turning points was a signal boost where all of a sudden people, what we call emergent behavior, right, Jack, when you and I, sure. When all of a sudden people realize that it's okay to believe a certain thing. When that poll came out, post-Turning Point Action Conference, you know, we had polls on Vivek and we had polls on Trump. But Jack, what was the number? This went far and wide. I guarantee you somebody printed this out and put it on Zelensky's desk. I guarantee it. What was that, Jack? Happened over the summer.
So off the top of my head, I remember in general, there was a Trump wins the presidential straw poll, and it was something like 87%. And then there was another question about continued support to Ukraine or continued involvement in Ukraine. And that actually came in at 92%.
95.
So the one thing that polled higher than Donald Trump at a Turning Point grassroots event was ending support for Ukraine, that actually polled ahead of Donald Trump. And this was, you know, back when, we had decided to bring in everyone, and Turning Point, as they always do, bring in everyone from all over the country, state after state after state, coming to, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you do have the breakdown of you know, regions, et cetera. But the point being is this is a national conference of some of the most active, some of the most really, really outspoken Twitter and social media personalities in general. And one of the reasons is, Charlie, these guys, look, when you're in the influencer game, right, as so many people in Turning Point, there's so many Turning Point influencers, they know what is popular and what is unpopular. And people always get this wrong because they'll say, oh, well, you know, these do this to Rush Limbaugh, and they called him ditto heads because you just agree and amplify whatever Rush says. No. Rush was constantly listening to phone calls. He was constantly listening to the pulse of the people.
That's what we have on our program, too.
Understand what's going on.
Thousands
and then when
of emails
people
a day.
Are emailing... to Charlie, when people are emailing to me, when we're looking at comments, we're constantly seeing the mood. And then, so these people that are at the Turning Point conference, they're directly responding to the received signal, the A/B testing that they're doing on a regular basis. They're responding to that. They're pushing forward because they can see the direction that people are going in. This is why now all of a sudden, and then the next step, by the way, after we really exposed this person, this creature, Senator J.D. Vance, and we have to give Senator J.D. Vance credit because he wrote a letter asking the Pentagon whether or not that person was receiving funding from the U.S. government to make these statements.
So we are seeing now all of a sudden Zelensky didn't really have the hero's welcome in D.C. This is happening as we're doing this program. There were real questions that were being asked. Axios covers that. You know, Zelensky looked more stressed. He didn't have this kind of 2 minute like standing ovation. Blake, you know, this might just be surface level politics, but it seems like this is a far more fragile funding arrangement than it was 9 months ago.
It definitely is. And one of the, I mentioned this earlier, it's very dark that one of the biggest reasons is like the West is turning on Ukraine for something that's like the Western elite's fault. Like, what's the big disaster?
We did this. Yeah, that's a fair point.
It's somewhat us, but it's also, America did this to some extent.
Not our program. We were against it from the beginning.
You know, we were funding this war. We were giving them all these weapons. And what there's all this political pressure to do is like, you have to use these weapons to win this big victory to show that you're winning the war. And so Ukraine had been doing, you know, given the odds against them, had been doing pretty well against Russia. Mm-hmm. Russia had made no progress in the last year, basically. They'd been driven away from Kharkov, a major city in eastern Ukraine. But there was all this hype, like the Ukraine spring offensive. It's going to be the biggest deal ever.
It was all propaganda.
It was the biggest open secret in the world that this was coming. And they launched this big attack, and it's a total disaster. And we don't know the exact figures because they're all very secretive about it. But it seems very possible that tens of thousands of soldiers were killed in this. Or, you know, 300,000 if you're Douglas McGregor. But like a lot of people died, and it made no progress at all.
Just add a zero.
And yeah, just add a zero, two
or
zeros,
two.
Three zeros maybe. And you know, so it was this big disaster, and now everyone's like, can Ukraine win this war? It seems like Ukraine's not committed enough. Like they've only had tens of thousands of people die. They're not as committed as us in Washington who've
Well, and I got to be honest, I think that there might be finally some Andrew, I want your opinion, narrative penetration with the open border. I think that anyone with a decent conscience that is getting flooded by their constituents, Andrew, we're the ones that are leading the charge here. And I think it might be chipping away, right? I mean, the turtle doesn't care, right? Lady Graham, he gets sexual pleasure from like seeing people get invaded or something. Like yeah. He gets off on this stuff.
My number one priority is not freezing on camera and then bombing the hell out of Russia.
We will bomb him, displace him. What country will he not invade? But no, but in all seriousness, I was just watching the news, and I'm trying to be as objective. And I entered the day super cynical, right? That we were going to get the pom-pom squad of Republicans. Even the ones that are on board were less gusto than 9 months ago.
Yeah, I would say. Okay, so we went pretty hard on John Cornyn today. John Cornyn is Chamber of Commerce Republican from the state of Texas. It's getting invaded currently, and what is he doing? He's in thehill.com being quoted as saying, well, no, if the House passes a CR without any Ukraine funding, well, it's going to get to the Senate. We're just going to add it back in and we'll send it back to them. Or we might do it ourselves and send it to them. It's a different sort of process, whatever. All this parliamentarian gimmicks and tricks that they have in the Senate. And then what happens? You got Rand Paul, who stands up in the Senate. So we counted the Senate. The U.S. Senate is full of just god-awful Republicans, useless Republicans.
That's an interesting thought crime. Why is the Senate worse than the House? That's a separate time, though.
So, but
it's a big deal.
But Rand Paul stepped up. First, actually, Ron Paul blocked some minibus. Or not Ron Paul, sorry. Ron Johnson. Oh. Ron Johnson blocked
he's
the minibus.
He's been doing really good.
Yeah, and then Rand Paul said, I'm straight up not funding it. And then what did we have today? We had six senators. We had Mike Braun, Marshall from Mississippi, mm-hmm. right? Or is he
Roger Marshall's Kansas.
Kansas. That's right. Dr. Roger Marshall. And then we had Tuberville from Alabama.
Alabama.
We had, and by the way, he's going
to
be on the Charlie Kirk Show next week, so we'll have Senator Tuberville there. And then we've got
that's great.
Yeah, we have Mike Braun, who, by the way, is the biggest
Indiana running
most,
for governor,
most improved player.
He's doing this because he's running for governor. Good, like that's an example of politics working for the betterment.
For those of you at home who don't know what I'm talking about, Mike Braun came
in summer 20.
He went full on CRT,
BLM. Only for a moment. And then Tucker decided to say, and now I shall correct you. Whoop!
Exactly. So, and then we had. Let me just add the list here. Mike Lee.
He's great.
Yeah, he's
Mike
great.
Lee's one of my favorite people. He's a great guy.
Missing in action, Senator Ted Cruz.
He has neocon tendencies.
He does.
He just does. You just got to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, he does. And then J.D. Vance, obviously, we said. And then Josh Hawley didn't sign that list.
No, he did. He was on the list.
Yeah, was he on the list?
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So that's really interesting. I think, Jack, you tweeted about this today, I believe. You said there's been a total energy shift, and I couldn't agree more. It was like, 3 days
ago,
I would have said,
a series of energy shifts.
Yes, we are dead on arrival. This thing is Ukraine's getting funded. The border's we're all going to cuck out, and it's just going to be business as usual, just like it was with the death ceiling. I'm not saying that's not going to happen. I'm saying there is a fighting chance. There is a resistance now that the Senate is on board to actually fight this thing back. I really think we've got a chance to, and I think, Charlie, it's going to take us shutting down this government.
Yeah, I mean,
shut this mother down.
But let's close on this, and this is a question. Let's pretend that we were, you know, pro-Ukraine neocons that really didn't care much about America. But to look honestly, how could they actually increase their support? They're fighting gravity, is what I'm getting, is that they're a diminishing asset at this point, right?
Yeah.
They peaked. Let's pretend we were all pro-Ukraine.
Their base left them.
And how do you even rebuild consensus support? You could fake hate crimes by Russia or something. I mean, stuff like that, maybe.
When Zelensky starts having all of his refugees do the terrorist attacks, you're like, it's Russia.
No, that's
Russia
what, talk about
it.
This. This is a real thing.
This is a real thing.
Zelensky's extorting Europe. Like, it'd be a shame if the Louvre blew up.
This is honestly like way more shocking to me.
Nice Eiffel Tower you got there,
this
Macron.
This is actually way more shocking to me than the tranny thing. Because this tranny, maybe he's just this weirdo who's like mentally unstable.
The tranny thing's crazy.
But it's crazy. But this is Zelensky himself gives an interview to The Economist, and he's just like, yeah, you know, a million Ukrainians.
Nice Michelangelo statue.
Yeah, a million Ukrainians have fled to Western Europe, and like they're very grateful for how Ukraine has hosted them. But, you know, if Europe stopped supporting Ukraine, I don't know how these Ukrainians would respond to the disappointment and sadness they would feel about being abandoned. They could do anything. And
do you know what that reminds me of? Do you know what that reminds me of? It's like right in 2020 when it turns out like 2 days later, it's apparently that Joe Biden wins the election and all the civil rights, quote unquote, that's a very big air quote, by the way, civil rights groups didn't riot because they didn't call. They didn't, you know, it's like these powers on the left that have these stormtroopers that can just like
be dispatched. We were supposed to compliment them for not blowing up our society.
Yeah, exactly, but
like, aren't you glad?
It's a shocking thing.
Yeah. But for the gravity thing, it is just like they would benefit so much if they could just watch like an 80s action movie and be like, okay, we need to channel the tough military guy. Get like the straightest guy possible.
Yes.
Have him be the Ukrainian spokesman.
Crew cut,
he has
right?
like a have him like have this like Orthodox icon in the corner. He'll like talk about like God and Jesus a lot and just say like Vladimir Putin is a god of Satanist.
Central cast it.
Yeah. Central
plus,
cast
plus,
it.
Plus, by
literally,
the way, I was just going to say, you'd think that if he knows that there's Republican opposition, we said this on Human Events, that if he knew there was Republican opposition, why not just come out and say something like 20% of the funding will go towards child trafficking operations? Like, just say something to try to get conservatives on your side if you know that's where the opposition is.
You could be
is,
even
they
more
don't
unhinged.
Care.
You could be like the Russian military is like they're recruiting all of these like Muslims from the Caucasus and they're like here to like destroy Christians, like the oldest Christian place in Eastern Europe, you know, Kiev.
I mean, that's not even completely, you know.
Yeah, it's like it'd be something. It'd be way better than like we need to do this because then like the pink and baby blue flag will fly over Kiev till the end of time and that's what Putin wants to rip down. Like, that's basically doing Putin's own propaganda efforts for him.
It's doubling down on stupid.
Yeah, literally. The current argument is like Western values are trans values. And we're kind of like, we don't want to fund that. Sorry. Yeah.
The flag of the regime is the pride flag.
All right. So now let's get to some serious thought crimes. And it's a perfect segue. Remember, the man, the dude, the trans dude, Mike, Big Mike, right? Said that the Russian devils will pay a price. In fact, said that 1 week ago. And then all of a sudden, the hit against Russell Brand happens. Jack, do I have to talk about Noble Gold first?
Yeah.
I want to tell you about Noble Gold Investments. Noble Gold Investments is a terrific way. That's just your little tease. Did Zelensky plant the black propaganda against Russell Brand? Did the Western intel agencies do this? Russell Brand was speaking out against the Ukrainian war. They say that they're going to take out a Putin puppet, and then boom, the allegations on Russell Brand, which is a good segue there. Jack, did Zelensky try to take Russell Brand out?
Well, Charlie, it certainly wouldn't be the first time that the Ukrainians have tried to take out someone in the West that they viewed as negative to them. And I'm referring, of course, to the time that a foreign government interfered in the United States in our election, planted fake propaganda, laundered that fake propaganda through mainstream media, and had the campaign manager of a major political campaign in the United States fired. That guy's name was Paul Manafort. And this fake dossier, which was spread even before the infamous Steele dossier, the PP dossier that Jake Tapper loves so much and thinks about every single night while he's lying in bed, that the Black Ledger was a false document created by that very same organization of which I just spoke, the SBU in Ukraine. It was then laundered through Ukrainian politicians and used to claim that Paul Manafort was on some kind of Russian payroll. Due to this scandal, Paul Manafort was actually, he actually had to step down as the head of the Trump campaign in the middle of the election. So, Charlie, no, this wouldn't be the first time that the Ukrainians have done something like this, if so.
So now it's good time. Blake, give us the facts. What is Russell Brand being accused of?
So one of the things that's interesting is it's all from the UK, which Russell Brand's British. That would make sense. And it's three different publications. The Times UK, I can't remember the others. I think one might be the Express. And they come out with this set of allegations against him over the weekend, I believe. And it's essentially, we got all of these women who say that Russell Brand was abusive. One was a teenage girl who says that she was groomed for sex by...
Wait, the age is important.
No, I'll get to that. Oh, okay, I'll get to that. Okay. She says she was groomed for sex by Russell Brand. She was 16. That is legal in the UK. So
it is. Okay. It
was perfectly legal. But she says, like, you know, it was still an age gap. It was exploitative grooming, whatever. Several say that he sexually assaulted them. For full context, Russell Brand has basically always been forthright that he was, like, very promiscuous as a young man, went through a lot of relationships. I think he said he was a sex addict. Obviously, he's a pretty charismatic guy and not the worst looking guy, so he would probably be able to have as many consensual relationships as he would like as a young man. But they're coming out with all of this. The most recent allegations go up only to a decade ago. And on top of that, two things really have to be highlighted here, which is one, none of these women came forward on their own. The publications set out to write something about Russell Brand.
So there was an opposition research firm.
It was Oppo Research.
100%.
The publications contacted women to get them to attack Russell Brand. There was this did not start because a woman contacted a publication. And then second, multiple of these women, most of whom are still anonymous, by the way, multiple of these women explicitly say they did this because they were upset about, like, the political turn. His politics. Like, literally, like, and then I saw his Rumble video about Ukraine, and I realized what happened ago wasn't, what happened 15 years ago, that wasn't love. That was rape. And that's, like, literally what this story is. And we have the British government sending letters to TikTok, sending letters to Rumble that are explicitly asking them, like, are you doing things to keep him from monetizing this?
I'm gonna be pretty bold here. I'm gonna need some really convincing evidence. Like, I'm gonna need, like, video evidence of Russell Brand raping somebody, because I inherently don't believe this. Like, I just, at surface level, do not believe it.
Real talk, that's because how it should be in general for this
sort of
thing.
No, I'm just being honest. Like, years ago, I thought Russell Brand was, like, obnoxiously liberal. I think he's been courageous on the COVID stuff, outspoken against the pharmaceutical industrial complex. I think he's hilarious. I think he's interesting. And I said this on the program before, and Andrew, you're kind of like our Hollywood person. Russell Brand, A-list, like double A-list, right? This is not just
At a time. Yeah. There, I mean, he starred in Get Him to the Greek with Jonah Hill, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
But also he had his comedy special. He was on Death in the Nile recently as a cameo appearance. You just don't get that as some sort of consolation prize.
He was big, by the way.
Yeah, no, he was great. Right, Jack? I mean, that's not just a consolation prize. The point is
he was really good in that. It was like a serious role.
Russell Brand was top of the line, regime approved, you know, kind of funny. Ah, I know what I'm. I know what I want. Ryan, check out Russell Brand 1 year ago on Morning Joe. Did you see this? Where Mika was fawning over him? Oh, we got to resurrect that clip. Get that one.
Have you seen the old one where he kind of like lights them up?
Yeah, I think it was more than one year ago.
No, it was about a year ago. I remember seeing it live. I remember seeing it live when he was, and Mika was like all over him. And so, look, I just want to say, I don't believe any of these allegations against Russell Brand. And Russell is going to learn something. And he's going to learn it the hard way. And I don't want him to learn anything the hard way, which is the liberals are going to abandon him here. And only the right wingers of the West will come to his defense. Is that fair, Jack? I wish that wasn't the case.
We've seen it a million times, though I will say
Rose
in
McGowan
terms of the
him,
way that he's dealt. Right. That's true. Rose McGowan. I will say, though, that the way that he's handled this is A plus, just A plus at this point in terms of get out before it takes place. And then you actually saw Dave Portnoy, who I'm no fan of, actually copied the same Russell Brand playbook with his recent response.
I gotta be honest.
Which is good response. I'm just saying good comms is good comms. And when I see it, I'm going to call it what it is. So him getting out in front of it, doing the video, explaining to everybody what this was all about, explaining where it was coming from. That's what you do. Never hide. Never let your enemy control the narrative. Never let your enemy define you. Never let your enemy be the one in charge of the operation, because you are in information warfare. This is fourth generational warfare. In order to do that, what did he do? He took the wind out of their sails. He reframed the argument as there's a hit piece coming after me. This takes away the element of surprise. Then what happens next? Then we start looking at it skeptically. So we're already primed to look at this skeptically. It doesn't come as a shock. There's no shock value to it whatsoever. What we find is that this is a situation, and I had tip to Scott Adams for pointing this out. You know, Charlie, we know that journalism and newsrooms have been getting gutted for the last decade across the entire world. You just don't see investigative journalism.
You know,
the
not
way
all
you
news is bad, Jack.
Yeah, exactly. But you just don't see investigative journalism anymore. It's not the same level it used to be. It's not the same. The price tag on it is much, much higher. Usually it's just reports of somebody said something on Twitter, and now I'm going to write up what he said, and I'm going to get a bunch of clicks off of that, and that's my job. You hire a bunch of 20-somethings using ChatGPT to do it for you. But when it comes to Russell Brand or Tucker Carlson or Elon Musk or Donald Trump, suddenly there's a limitless budget to how much investigation you can do. And then you can even go down and knock on the doors of people who aren't complaining. Do you have any idea how expensive and how much time it takes to find people who are not complaining and get them to come forward?
Look, let's be honest. Russell Brand would not have been touched ever if he would have just said, get the jab. Zelensky is great. Wear the mask and lock it down.
100%.
All right, here's Morning Mika. I'm sorry, this is from a decade ago. It resurfaced last year. I apologize. So let's play cut 123.
Caddy K and Brian Shackman are here as well, and he already told Brian that he might want to disrobe. I'm just saying.
I just thought maybe I could loosen up a little, show a little more chest hair, and said maybe I should do a little more.
I only think Russell can do that. You look fantastic. Yeah. Put him on the table.
Kinky boots time.
Oh, wow.
So there are some boots.
Those are nice.
You also look beautiful.
Okay, Russell.
It's like your desk is a puzzle.
It is. I'm sorry about that.
What is the solution?
I think we could try and walk back in. So,
there you go, love. Be Russell careful, because that's a low-cut dress.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I'm only flesh and blood. I've got instincts.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well,
tell me what you need to know.
I'm just sort of taking it all in. I kind of like that.
Okay, so I'm going to play 124. The point I'm playing for this, number one, the media all knew that he was a little bit of a tomcat. I'm putting it nicely,
right?
A
full confession, that is the longest Russell Brand clip I have ever seen.
Oh, is that right?
I've never seen a single Russell Brand movie, stand-up, TV show episode.
I think he's legitimately A-plus talent. The guy's got a gift. Here's Morning Mika.
His interviews are
good. Here's Morning Mika fantasizing she could be with Russell Brand with a water bottle. Play cut 124.
You've become nervous.
Why
are you nervous? You're a powerful woman. You've got a lovely job. What seems to be the trouble?
I don't know.
You've got a hair like Princess Diana.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You're ovulating. Don't be nervous.
Starts in August.
Don't think about what I'm wearing. What seems to be the trouble, love?
No, I'm good.
What do you think that gesture means, the way you're touching that bottle? What does that indicate? What is that? What's the subtext of that?
Oh, my God. More Morning Joe in just a moment.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever going to be a case where something's like not consensual with this guy.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to get. The guy is like I say this in the least gay possible way. He's like super charming.
Yeah.
Right?
He's just like the biggest Chad in the universe.
Yeah, I mean, he's just like total alpha. He's got the British accent.
Well, that's thought crime.
What? That straight men can appreciate other men as being good looking?
No. I'm not making the Hellenistic argument here, Charlie.
Oh, okay.
What I'm saying is the real thought crime is that what determines whether or not those statements are harassment? It is not the statements themselves. It is not the person who is making them. It is the person listening to them.
Yeah, that's right.
Can determine whether or not, in this case, Mika Brzezinski, because when I was a Navy officer, do you have any idea how many times we had to sit through the annual and then quarterly trainings on what you're allowed to say on the ship, what you're not allowed to say on the ship, et cetera, red light behavior, yellow behavior, green behavior, all this other stuff. But it's like he's up there and he's breaking all the rules and she's just laughing and going along with it. And it's totally fine because she's determined it's okay. But if this were Donald Trump saying all those things, and of course, and I just use him as a stand, I'm not trying to do the cliche thing, but if that were someone she didn't like who was saying the exact same things in the exact same manner, if that show is done in New York, she could file charges against him.
Absolutely.
Or as it turns out in this one, where, you know, a decade later, he says something about the vaccine and you realize that it was sexual harassment at the time.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's right. So, I mean, look. They're going to try to take him out. He's handling it really well. And just add this to the list. Elon Musk under criminal investigation for some sort of corporate perk thing. The guy's worth $260 billion, okay? If there was a problem, why wouldn't the IRS contact him? Department of Justice for corporate perk paperwork?
It's worse than that. It was like Tesla's like buying him a glass house because, you know, if he lives in a glass house, he can't throw stones at the government. And, you know, it's like, oh, how could they screwed up the compensation package? Meanwhile,
which is usually done by the corporate
Tesla,
lawyer.
It goes public 15 years ago or so. Tesla goes public worth $2.5 billion. It is now worth $850 billion. It has topped at over $1 trillion. I think the median Tesla investor is pretty happy with how Elon Musk has run his company.
No, but that gets you a criminal investigation by the Southern District of New York, according to the Wall Street Journal.
And you're also getting sued at SpaceX because they didn't hire enough refugees for, you know, their super sensitive space rocketry program where you're not allowed to employ non-US persons for it. And they interpreted that as we can't employ refugees. And so the DOJ just swoops in, sues them, wants them to take all of their money that they're using to develop the super special rockets that we use to shoot things to the moon. And they're like, no, you have to pay, you know, $5 million in back salary to every refugee who applied
it's
to work at SpaceX, wasn't hired.
Unbelievable.
So, and, go ahead.
And just like, and again, like the hit job, you know, I want to read, if I can, this letter. Just give me a moment to bring it up. But, actually, maybe you should talk.
But
I
mean, let's just be honest. Okay, this is a total thought crime. The way that Morning Joe, most women think this, they wish they could get in a sexual relationship with Russell Brand. Okay, like these people are liars. Women fawn over this guy. Mm-hmm. Look at Mika; she was like melting. I mean, so like, give me a break. You're trying to tell me Russell Brand has to get down to the level of rape? You're lying. You are lying. Okay, you are a liar when you are coming to Russell Brand. Yes, that might be a thought crime. I don't care. Harvey Weinstein, totally see that. Guy's a slob. He's like overweight. He's awful. I totally see the rape using power authority. You're trying to tell me that Russell Brand needs to like resort to like strong patriarchy tactics?
Yeah.
The guy walks in the room and the women are taking off their clothes.
This is what's different about this situation, I think, than the purely American context, too, by the way, of Me Too. Now, we can all agree that Me Too got completely unhinged and deranged. You know, it really did. It just flew off the rails. Believe all women, whatever. All right. But what's interesting here is that now you have the UK is sending out letters to Rumble and to YouTube,
that's
telling them to demonetize
crazy.
Them without even being convicted of a crime.
It's even worse than that. The Associated Press today is writing a whole story on Rumble because of the Russell Brand thing.
Yes.
So all the power sources are coming after Rumble.
Exactly.
This is really about Rumble. This is
the letter
coming about Rumble.
This is the letter yesterday that the chair of Culture, Media, and Sport Committee of the British Parliament sends to Rumble.
So communistic.
Where it says, let's see. We are also looking at Mr. Brand's use of social media, including on Rumble, where he issued his preemptive response to the accusations made against him by the Sunday Times and Channel 4's dispatches, which Channel 4, I believe, is like a British government-funded news outlet, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, that's right.
While we recognize that Rumble is not the creator of the content published by Mr. Brand, we are concerned that he may be able to profit from his content on the platform. This is a person who has not been convicted of any crime. I don't even know if he's been charged with any crime yet. And they're just like, oh, well, he got these accusations, so we need to delete him from the ability to make money. And then we're claiming that, you know, Vladimir Putin and the Chinese are threats to free expression. And meanwhile, we just have the British government going around and, like, vaporizing anyone that they feel like.
But put this in the European context. We just had this incident. We haven't really talked much about it. In Spain, where the Spanish women national women's cup team wins, and the president of the Spanish professional women's soccer league or whatever, in a moment of exuberance, like, if you play the clip back, maybe Ryan, you can get it. It happened so fast. There was like a moment of exuberance. What? It was a peck. And I lived in Spain for a year.
Condolences.
I'm telling you, those people peck all the time. They kiss all the time.
By the way, they just won.
They had just won for the first time in their nation's history.
This is hilarious. Europe is like way more sexually liberal than America. And now they're not, apparently.
Well, America's
they all have affairs. They walk around without clothes.
The truth is like America's most toxic ideas go the most
viral. You guys are talking
over
each other.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, what are you saying, Jack?
No, I just this just tying it back to what I said before is it is perfectly acceptable until the female decides it is not acceptable. So she might do that yeah. same type of thing, or that guy may have done that 10 times before, but the 11th time when she decides that time is unacceptable, even though all the other times were fine, then it becomes a scandal because she made the decision, because that's the way that our laws are written. That's the way that our statutes are written on this. That's the way our policies are written on this. It is completely female centric, where women have all the control and is completely subjective for men.
Yet they can't tell you what a woman actually is. Let's play cut 117.
There you go. Just change your identification.
I've brought some facts. The pandemic created at least 40 new big pharma billionaires. Pharmaceutical corporations like Moderna and Pfizer made $1,000 of profit every second from the COVID-19 vaccine. More than two-thirds of Congress received campaign funding from pharmaceutical companies in the 2020 election. Pfizer chairman Albert Bourla told Time magazine in July 2020 that his company was developing a COVID vaccine for the good of humanity, not for money. And of course, Pfizer made $100 billion in profit in 2022. Right. And may I just mention that finally, and this is also a fact, that you, the American public, funded the development of that. The German public funded the BioNTech vaccine. When it came to the profits, they took the profits. When it came to the funding, you paid for the funding. Is if you have an economic system in which pharmaceutical companies benefit hugely from medical emergencies, where a military-industrial complex benefits from war, where energy companies benefit from energy crises, you are going to generate states of perpetual crisis where the interests of ordinary people separate from the interests of the elite.
You can see why they're taking him out. He's way too outspoken for the regime. You cannot have an A-lister speaking like that.
But here's the thing. I can't get over just how ferocious this has come down on him. If you go through like a TikTok of all the allegations, it's like the specialist sex crime squad in the UK is now helping to investigate the damning allegations against Russell Brand. It emerged Thursday. You've got what is this? Russell Brand, big tech is coming down on him, demonetized. Now they're coming after Rumble and X. Now they want to talk to X because Elon Musk came out in his defense 38 minutes after the allegations rose. Russell Brand accused of exposing his willy to women, laughing about it on radio show. Katy Perry called him a Rasputin, and now that's come to light from 2013. That's his former wife. Like Katy Perry, oh gosh, I have stories about Katy Perry. Like she's some model of
she's a bad person.
She's
trying to steal
behavior.
A piece of property from a veteran in dementia in Santa Barbara right now.
Yeah, I know this. I know
it's
all
a real
about
story.
That story. I will tell you. I once upon a time lived in L.A.
I said you're our Hollywood guy.
I ran into Katy Perry at a party, and without giving details about it, I will just tell you, Charlie Kirk, that lady whatever Russell Brand did, she was matching him step for step in those days. I will tell you that much.
Okay, but counterpoint on that property, California girls, they're undeniable. Fine, fresh, fierce. They got it.
I mean,
on lock. So it seems like it's just that's well, just,
he's
gets what
he's
she
never
wants.
Seen Russell Brand, and he's quoting Katy Perry songs from 2011.
Listen.
Suddenly, please. The only single guy on this show is becoming a little bit more suspicious as the episodes of Thought Crime, as we plumb the depths of Thought Crime here in the cerebral criminality.
I just got to be honest. This Russell Brand one is a big deal to me. Not because I'm a big Russell Brand fan. Not because I've ever followed him that closely. Not because but this is somebody who just happened to have a change of opinion. Commit the crime of noticing. We will destroy you.
Yeah. But look at this too. He's married.
He's got
a kid and another one on the way. He's got a solid home life for like the first time in his life. He's everything in his own personal ecosystem. He always is going well. He always admitted that he was a disgusting, vile human being. He bragged about it and they cheered him on. And now they're rewriting history again. Frankly, it's no different than the liberals tearing down statues of Abraham Lincoln. They're retroactively applying new rules to an old situation that they themselves cheered on, and it's actually infuriating for that. But I mean, we obviously don't condone sexual assaults.
He didn't do it.
But that's what I'm saying. These women,
they're lying. I can say that confidently.
Yeah.
That they all come out at the same time, and they even say it's because of their politics, yeah. Right, Blake?
Yeah.
They're liars. And by the way, I refuse to believe that Russell Brand, who could have any woman in the world, somehow sexually assaulted women. And yeah. It all comes out at the same time, coordinated when he happened to speak out against the Ukraine war, happened to be speaking out against pharma.
And a week after Sarah Ashton Cirillo said that a puppet was going down.
There's so much sick about it. This, like, you get these spin-off hit pieces. So we have like Wired.com. The dark economics of Russell Brand.
Oh, this is so
Russell Brand.
To me,
you guys can
honestly.
Bring it up on the screen, actually. I've got it right here. Russell Brand has built a massive following on YouTube and Rumble with his conspiracy-laden videos. He says the mainstream is out to get him. But is it all just a grift? Like, a grift? The dude has about 10 million Twitter followers, or X followers, I guess we call it now. He has 6.5 million subs on YouTube. Like, they're basically... Wired is mad that he can make any video he wants on YouTube and it will instantly be seen by more people than any Wired article ever written.
That's so true.
And
to the point,
he's a grift.
To the point there, what's the grift? Russell Brand, and Charlie, you just explained this, has been in movies and he's continued his career up through this. It's not like he was suffering from some kind of dearth of popularity like so many of these other actors that turn to left-wing causes like you've seen over the years because they can't get work anymore, so they have to constantly try to reinvent themselves through the climate, through antinatalism, like Ashley Judd did, et cetera, et cetera. No, he's still been making great movies. He's been in top features right up until one, I think, came out a year or two ago, The Death of the Nile. And I don't think this is a grift. I think that he is just working through coming from where he came from, grew up without a father, thought he had one view of the world, and now he's discovering that there's another one. I think it's genuine. I really do.
And like the use of the word grift is so malicious there, because like actual grift, that refers to like getting money from people in like a scam sort of way. Mm-hmm. So like you run a political organization that's like, we're going to stop Obama's commie agenda or whatever. And, you just blow it on fake stuff and you never achieve anything. That's a grift. Russell Brand is, I think he has like a pay-per-view show on Rumble, which you don't need to pay for. You can still get almost all of his shows for free. And he has a podcast and he has YouTube.
Oh, no.
It's all
he
free.
He also goes on tour and sells out.
Yeah.
So they all voluntarily want to hear from him.
The grift is people want to watch a Russell Brand show. It's like calling The Simpsons a grift, like because you watch an episode of it.
Yeah. I think
if you don't like
this,
it, don't watch it.
And the absolutely true. Like, I actually get really upset with the accusation of grift, by the way. First of all, if you are talented and you are making content, you absolutely should get paid. Not only you should, we need you to get paid. Yes. We need every single active.
It's so overused.
I hate it. If you are not getting paid, you cannot survive. If you cannot survive doing good work, spreading good messages, the Conservative Party is so guilty of this, and it pisses me off. If you are calling people grifters out of jealousy, shame on you. We need people to be able to survive doing content. We need people to survive being able to be activists. And shame on you for shaming people for doing it.
It's a new thing. It's really bad. Rush never experienced that. Rush was always open about how much money he was making. And everyone was like, yeah, you're popular.
He's like, I'm going to try and buy an NFL team.
This is the house that conservatism built.
Yeah, that's right. But now it's this new thing that if anybody makes any money, it's like, what is it called? Tall poppy syndrome?
Yes.
Right?
It's a New Zealand
thing. Explain what that is.
Tall poppy syndrome is basically a New Zealand thing. Well, no, it's the expression is Kiwi, as far as I know.
Oh, okay.
But the poppies grow in Holland or whatever. So it's here's the thing. The poppy field, if you look at them, and you can see this up in Washington State as well, they'll grow at a very even level.
Equitable.
So if one poppy grows too tall, the other poppies somehow, literally there's like a connected organism. Yeah, they will force the other poppy to stay stunted until the other ones grow up to its level. So that's why every poppy field you see is at the same level, and tulips as well do the same thing. So,
oh well, tulips would be more Dutch.
Yeah, that would be right. Yes,
the Japanese version is the nail that sticks out gets hammered down.
Yep.
Are you saying Japanese people are short, Blake? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I am. The average Japanese soldier in World War II was a 4'10" man with no food and a ton of meth.
That's how they were able to hide in the forest of Guam for so many years.
Yeah, you know, just to come out 30 years later, and you know.
After the meth dried up.
Exactly. After the meth dried out and they finally, you know, had to eat after their diet of, 200 calories a day ran out.
Yeah. I don't know that I'm convinced that they were all lying. I'm sure that Russell Brand did some things that were completely scumbaggy. But what I am convinced of is that this is a coordinated hit. This is an absolute result of him becoming more free thinking and anti-war, anti-vaccine. This is absolutely an attempt to bring him down and to keep him from being so effective. He's the type of voice, right? I think different voices play different roles. Yes, on our shows, we convert people. We red pill them all the time. But there is almost like a top of funnel effect to guys like Russell Brand and Joe Rogan, where they get them primed for seeing the world a different way, for exposing the corruption of the fake news media. That's the other thing he does better than just about anybody. He will take a full episode going over one BS New York Times article, and he will call it out point by point, and it's expertly
too.
Done.
I mean, hilarious.
Yeah, no, and so the point is, I buy into all of that, and I buy into the fact that this absolute dogmatic, insane, believe all women. Now we're going to sick the UK government on it, just like the Spanish government's now involved in this, like, one peck that lasted 0.5, not even 0.5
publicly,
seconds.
Too, by the way. Publicly, yeah. After a victory. We win the Women's World Cup, and it's all derailed because of one neurotic woman.
This is completely, this is AstroTurf attack against him, and I find it despicable. He's been honest about it. So anyways, I digress.
And it's because of his politics. And look, so Russell, you have allies in us, man. And it's too bad that you have to go through this. All right, Jack, let's play this one more piece of tape here. You know, so they contacted the young ladies who Russell Brand slept with, which there are lots of, right? He is like Sultan Brunei, Genghis Khan, King Solomon level.
Yes.
He was open about it, though, by the way. And he's fixed it, right?
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I wish him well in his recovering sex addiction.
He's not joking.
He says he's a sex addict.
Yeah.
But this young lady says, look, yeah, we had a relationship and it was great. But that wasn't put in the article. Play cut 125.
I actually know who this is about and I have the receipts. I was contacted in June by a journalist regarding a video I made about a certain celebrity and a weekend that we shared together. The video is kind of viral. It's on my page somewhere if you want to go see it. And that certain somebody was, as most of you will be aware, Mr. Brand. They weren't going to use my story because it didn't fit the narrative for their documentary because he wasn't an asshole to me. But here are some of the messages. Obviously, I will take out the person's name and stuff. We had a phone call. She contacted me for more information and I didn't contact her back because I kind of felt like it would be mean. Anyway, there you go. Put your bets on. It's a documentary about the one and only Mr. Russell Brand. And just a fun fact. astrology-wise, the lunar nodes of destiny have shifted into Aries right on top of his Mars and Moon. Written in the stars, baby. Okay, bye.
Whoa, charts have shifted to Aries? Guys, I think we just found the new thought crime segment.
They love
I can see why her and Russell got along.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I guess, you know, a truth here is, like, if you're a guy as charismatic as Russell Brand, as attractive as Russell Brand, you create, like, I think slang term that, like, the incels on the internet uses, like, alpha widows, where it's, like, they have a lot of exes, and a lot of these women get really, like, some of them were fine. Some of them were like, oh, he was great, you know, like, we just had a fun fling together. And then, but some of them just, like, go insane. Like, they couldn't last with the guy.
It's also because he got married now, right?
Yeah,
because
and he got married. He married someone else.
And he has definitively
rejected them in favor of someone else.
Yes.
And, you know, they go nuts from it. It doesn't necessarily mean it's all lying, but people, Blake, you know, they can kind of rationalize things in their head, and, you know, especially with all the politics.
Well, especially
stuff,
other women in their ear.
Yeah,
other women will make other women do crazy things.
Like, I would never be attracted to a man with those right wing views. And then it must
maybe
I was
because
raped.
We know
yes.
That, you know, if they get to a certain age and those eggs aren't used, they scramble. So
that's right.
What is that expression? A woman scorned. Charlie?
Hell a woman scorned.
No fury. Ooh, like a
that's
woman
right.
Scorned.
Jack, tell us about
empty egg carton.
My MPA Patriot carton. Supply.
I don't want those. Definitely don't want those. My Patriot Supply. Folks, here's something that we do want, because do you ever get the feeling, especially when you watch a show like this, that something unthinkable is going to happen soon? I'm not saying here on the show. I mean in the real world, because I do. And with all the distractions and smoke screens in the media, we probably aren't going to see it coming. And that's why it's smart to invest in emergency food today. As a wise man once said, in fact, my father used to always say this, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And My Patriot Supply is the nation's leader in emergency food storage. So where do you want to go? Go to our website, preparewiththoughtcrime.com. We're going to have to put that one in the description. And you will save 25% on My Patriot Supply's 3-month emergency food kits. You'll enjoy a wide variety of delicious meals, providing over 2,000 calories a day for optimum strength under stress. And believe me, we can tell you a lot about stress, especially when you're hosting a show with Blake. Stock up now before everyone else panics. Free shipping is automatic and your order ships fast. Go to preparewiththoughtcrime.com, preparewiththoughtcrime.com.
Okay, Harry Rogers, or is it Henry? I always get it wrong.
Henry Rogers.
Henry?
Because he has the same name as a Daily Caller reporter, also named Henry Rogers.
Henry Rogers.
Wait, I thought you were talking about the Daily Caller reporter.
Henry Rogers is a grifter. What's going on, Blake?
All right, so Henry Rogers, this is just, I wanted to highlight this today, because it is, we need a light story, you know, they're besieging us, they're trying to start nuclear war, so we have to give the truth about Henry Rogers, or as he's known to the world, Ibram X. Kendi. Now the ex-director of the Ibram Kendi Anti-Racist Center. So 2020, everyone was going insane. They were like, they're going to burn down every city. What can we blow money on to prove that we oppose racism? And obviously they gave, you know, what, $400 million to BLM, gazillion dollars to NAACP. One of the big winners was Ibram X. Kendi, who is kind of, you know, Ta-Nehisi Coates was a big deal like 8 years ago, but he wasn't dumb enough. They needed a dumber Ta-Nehisi Coates. So we got Ibram X. Kendi, author of How to Be Anti-Racist. That was put on all these reading lists. And they gave him a bunch of money to start an anti-racist center at Boston University. This was started with I've got the article here. This was started with a lot of fanfare about 3 years ago. It got a total of about $43 million in funding from various tech people, various institutions, and they were going to produce all of the scholarship on anti-racism. And 3 years in, they just announced last week that they're basically firing everyone at the center. Money's out, shutting it down. There's recriminations of a toxic culture at the center. Who would have imagined that? And also some people are wondering where all of the money went, because they got $43 million. So, you know, you could pay, you know, 43 people, or you could pay 20 people $500,000 a year for 2 years, and you'd get something out of that, presumably. But what we got out of them was they set up an opinion page at the Boston Globe called The Emancipator. It seems to put out an article a week, roughly. They created a COVID race data tracker to, like, see if black people or Hispanics or whatever were dying more of COVID. That collected data until about March of 2021, and then it stopped. And they were scheduling an anti-racist book fair. They held one of them on the internet, an online-only book festival, and then the next one was canceled. And That's pretty much it. That's what they got for $43 million. And so everyone's like, wait a minute.
So there's an investigation into this,
now
right?
Now they're investigating
because
it.
Maybe they did the BLM thing where the money just went poof.
Yeah, and poof. But, you know, the very bland version of it might have been they just literally like, they had these hilarious offices like a associate director of narrative. Like they had an entire narratives department, the way that you'd have like a Department of the Treasury, Department of Education, Department of Narrative.
Propaganda.
But they didn't seem to come up with a lot of narratives.
We tried to warn these people during Floydapalooza that this is not going to end well.
You know, and yet the same thing, this is probably what you were paying for. You were paying to give, you know, a bunch of money to be like, oh, you know, anti-racism leader Ibram X. Kendi, author of the brilliant bestseller How to Be Anti-Racist and possessor of a brilliant 1,000 SAT score, as one of our top intellectuals. That's true, by the way. He got like a 1,000 on the SAT.
Well, because it's racist.
It's racist. It is a
SAT
racist
score, or the SAT test is absolutely systemically oppressive to non-whites.
It is. You know, it asks a lot of things. It asks you to figure, you know, solve like, for X. Yeah. Solve for X. X is in his fake name.
Solve for X.
That
could. I'm going
to
put X in my middle name.
That is traumatizing to him. Solve for himself. He can't.
So Ibram X. Kendi is legitimately one of the most loathsome people in modern America. Charlie, do you agree?
Yeah, I just want to read this because this is from the Boston local paper. The complaints focused on the center's culture and its grant management practices.
Translation?
Money. Meaning what they're spending money on and who's getting the money. We previously initiated an examination of those grant management practices, and that will continue. Based on additional information provided to us, we're expanding our inquiry to include the center's management culture and the faculty and staff experience with it. We recognize Dr. Kendi's important work and the significant impact it had on anti-racist thinking and policy. And while he takes strong exception to the allegations made in recent complaints and media reports, we look forward to working with him as we conduct our assessment. Basically, this is Boston University doing the most, like, the lightest kid glove touch possible because they don't want to be called a racist.
100%. Like, you just have to be super, super light for what essentially is
he might be
given...
doing illegal stuff, but we love Dr. Kendi.
No, but this is the equivalent of L. Ron Hubbard creating, like, a cult based on, you know, he was a science fiction writer and then he created like a book that, you know.
Dianetics
that created, I'm not kidding, listen to this. This sounds like some snake oil salesman and somehow all these liberal white elites just took it hook, line, and sinker. The only remedy to racist discrimination is anti-racist discrimination. The only remedy to past discrimination is present discrimination. Mm-hmm. The only remedy to present discrimination is future discrimination. That is a like an anthem, like a what do you call it? It's like a spiritual cantation.
Incantation.
It's very spooky to me reading that, and then to think that white liberals were hoodwinked into giving this man
Jack
nearly
Dorsey
$40
gave
million.
Him $10 million.
Of course he did.
Yeah, and you know, actually, I kind of have. I don't want to say respect, but I kind of like that we got, you know, Dr. Rogers, because he's sort of, you need these ones who are dumb enough to really just come out and say what it is. Because, you know, with the really sophisticated ones, basically, you know, I'm spacing her name, Robin DiAngelo. They're like a lot more like vague about what they want, but he's the one who just kind of dumbly storms ahead, and
yes,
it's just
that's right.
A law
we just
is racist.
We want black bathrooms and white bathrooms.
Well, it's not even that. He's just like, a law is racist if it has a different outcome.
Ryan, you got to get the clip of where he was asked what racism is, and he does the what is a woman thing. He says, racism is when you guys are experiencing racism.
I remember that clip.
And he's just like, and he's
no,
like,
it's a real thing.
It is.
And he's just like, we should have a department of anti-racism, and they can nullify
in
any
the government.
Law.
Yes.
And he's like, and it can nullify any law if it's racist, and a law is racist if it has a different outcome based on race. Spoilers for all of you, every law ever passed has had different results based on race. They're trying to find the race-neutral policy for things, and it's like trying to find, the ether.
Jack, I feel like all of us combined are like the Rush thing. Are we getting sick of doing the I told you so thing? We try to warn people on Ukraine. We try to warn people on vaccines. Try to warn people on masks. Try to warn people on lockdowns. Try to warn people on every one of these possible potential topics on the border, on Biden, on voter integrity. And yes, we warned people about the grift of the quote-unquote black intellectual movement, Jack Posobiec?
Well, you know, it was interesting because Chris Rufo just brought up my interaction with Kendi and said this was the beginning of the end for Kendi, and then quote tweeted it. This is from almost a full 2 years ago, back October 30th, 2021, where I caught Kendi tweeting something very in a thread, and then deleted it very quickly. And so what he had actually said was, he tweeted out this article that said, more than a third of white students lied on their race about college, lied about their race on college applications. And then half of those applicants lied about being Native American. More than 3/4 of the white students who lied about their race were accepted. So then I wrote, Ibram X. Kendi just accidentally admitted that minority applicants have a better chance of getting into college, deleting his tweet, thereby debunking his entire life's work in just one tweet.
I remember
then,
this.
Then Kendi goes, he goes back at me, they're lying about what I said. I posed a tweet about which shows exactly what he says. Then he replies with this. Here is their tortured line of thinking. When white applicants think they have an advantage about lying about being a person of color, then that means they do have an advantage. So that means that structural advantage doesn't exist. So then I wrote, and this is the best part. Then I wrote, I broke Kendi, and just posted all the tweets. And then Kendi responds the next day, Jack couldn't deny his lie, so this is how he responded. His broke reference has a long history within racist structures.
Of course.
White enslavers boasted of breaking black people when they did not break black people. The resistance never stopped then, and it won't stop today. He's referring, of course, to the black supremacist conspiracy theory of buck breaking. buck breaking is essentially... Charlie, do you know what buck breaking is?
No.
We should do a live reaction to that.
And if you, I wouldn't want to watch it, but is a black supremacist, a conspiracy theory, even one that includes films that were made by the great Tariq Nasheed, the noted 90s rapper of such great singles as Wash Yo Booty. So Tariq is now in the black supremacist, I'm not even joking, is now in the black supremacist game making videos called buck breaking. Buck breaking, of course, is when a white slave owning male would then sexually punish a male slave, first by typically flogging him and then subsequently sexually assaulting or raping him in front of other slaves in order to humiliate him. Now, what's interesting is that even on Wiktionary.com, it actually states that the term buck breaking comes from the 21st century.
Yeah, so he believes in this like entirely like cracked out, bizarre internet conspiracy theory, which we have some images if you want to bring up 128 and 129. So Tariq Nasheed, who was this kind of colorful guy, he appeared on Tucker Carlson a few times. Mm-hmm. He has a very colorful Twitter presence. And yeah, he makes this bizarre documentary.
I watched it.
It is a very bizarre, like, you know, it's...
You watched it?
Yeah, well... So the thing is it's kind of like the Karen movie that came out on like BET a few years ago. You got to be a glutton for punishment because the plot of the movie, such as it was as a documentary, is that, you know, this practice, which didn't exist, but supposedly took place in the past.
What is that?
And that, you know, it exists today and like what it is like modern elites are trying to turn black men gay to like emasculate the black man, and this will further systemic
racism.
Oh, and
black
racism.
Men hate this, by the way.
Well, there's some truth to that.
Yeah,
though, right?
they all complain that. Have you ever seen it's like every black actor in Hollywood eventually has to dress up like a woman. Have you guys heard about this?
Yeah, that's right.
Dave Chappelle talked about it. He's like, I think it was Dave Chappelle. Maybe it was. I think it was Dave Chappelle. Anyways, it's like every black actor in modern Hollywood at one point or time or another has to play like a female role, like dress up and drag, right? It's
a rite of passage.
Yeah, it's crazy, actually.
Who besides Eddie Murphy?
The
guys in White Chicks,
I guess.
Is that
like when they say you got to do gay porn before I got to do straight porn? Because it's kind of like
you'd know about that, Jack, not me. I wouldn't know that.
We're all shaking our heads.
All right. Is that a thing, Jack? I don't know. Tell us.
Yeah, actually, Jack, can you talk about this for 5-10 minutes?
I mean, if you need 10 minutes, you know, what can I say that I hear dark, disturbing things on the internet, but sometimes you don't have all the time.
Here.
So
he's heard about it, guys.
Jack does it so you don't have to, folks. So, honestly.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the tape of Ibram X. Kendi. Henry Rogers, play cut 127.
You talked about the importance of defining racism. I didn't hear your personal definition. Is there one that you would offer us? Like, how do you define racism?
Sure. So racism, I would define it as a collection of racist policies that lead to racial inequity that are substantiated by racist ideas. And anti-racism is pretty simple, using the same terms. Anti-racism is a collection of anti-racist policies leading to racial, anybody want to take a guess? Equity that are substantiated by anti-racist ideas.
Give that man $43 million.
Look, I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't know, but I would just, I don't know where all that money went.
Yeah. Listen, now that you say it, I'm even more convinced than ever that the SATs is just like straight up very equitable.
We should have
to make a parody of
bring back the IQ test.
They're making the SAT dumber, by the way. Did you know that? Like, they keep making
the SAT completely.
Well, they're libs want to get rid of it completely, but the SAT is trying to keep up, so they keep making it dumber and dumber. Like, it used to be a pretty good IQ test. Like, only like 3 people in America would get a perfect score every year. It was really tough to get a high score on it. And they keep like lowering the ceiling to try to, because they think if they kind of squash the ceiling, it will wipe out a lot of the disparities. They are failing at this.
Such
badly.
A great lie. The higher you make the standards, the more excellent everybody will become. The lower you make the standards, the more horrible everybody will become. Well, and it is across the board, whether it's academics, whether it's work product, whether sports. It's physical education. You had that one Instagram going back to like the 1950s, yep. 60s. Like,
we used to be an excellent country.
Yeah, physical education. That thing did like, what, 4 million views? Yeah. It's sad, the lowering of standards. And Ibram X. Kendi is like the...
In chess?
What's that?
Oh, yeah. I thought we did a thought crime on that, right?
We mentioned it.
No, I did a whole hour on it.
Why
do women need their own category in chess?
Oh, yes. Oh,
that was a great AMA. That was
excellent.
Classic.
Yeah, that was one of the great Charlie Kirk Show specials.
Jack, why? Why is it, Jack?
Great.
Well, I
remember what Charlie said on there, and it's that women, men, and women excel in different things, and it's the right answer.
Micro and macro is the best way. Men are better
micro,
at strategy,
macro,
geopolitics,
yes, right. Yes.
Big picture vision, sports, weather, politics, government. Women are much more in relationships, feelings, conversations, and chess is very analytical, strategic, and
so,
almost like configuration.
I'm actually curious, Jack. I'll throw to you. Sorry to interrupt.
You're good.
I'm curious what our audience thinks about this. Do you agree with the micro macro thing?
It's not a matter of agreement. It's
well, no,
a
I
fact.
Mean, but is that a good way of explaining it? I mean,
it's
when
not
we
mine. It's
when
Prager's,
we say these
yeah.
things, women in the audience drop into the comments on Rumble.
Women think macro very poorly. They do, and men think micro very poorly. It's why men don't clean
it's
up after
Adam
themselves
thing
as well.
About like women don't know who fought in World War II.
Then that's but that's
they don't
fine.
Know what decade
but
it took
they
place
know
in.
All the neighbors' names and all the cousins' birthdays, and
so
men don't.
This is what I was going to say. Was that this was. When in the intel community, we always knew that if you wanted to target a terrorist network and you really wanted to know who's who in the zoo, you wanted to know everyone, you wanted to know the relational status, you wanted to know who liked who hated who, you had to find one of the girls.
Of course.
You had to find someone's wife, yes. You had to find someone's girlfriend, someone
that's
who was willing to talk to you
from
and get
the Lord.
Close to them.
100%.
And then boom. Like, I could just sense it with my wife, who I'm reasonably assured is not a terrorist, that just in our life, whenever it's somebody's birthday, whenever we have to remember something like that,
yes.
she you tell her one time she will remember. I'm talking to you, like,
Eric,
every single person
way. That's
in
right.
this room, like your daughters, your kids, she remembers all of it. You tell her one time, she remembers it.
Yeah, Eric is the same way. By the way, we have different gift things, right? If you're trying to find out, you know, who's the person that's going to try to, you know, plot a military strategy or retake Rome, right,
mm-hmm.
Blake? Well, then there you go.
All right, so here's the comments. Kiss Asunders 25 says, the brain is different. And then It's Me Again, Sigh, says women more closely cluster around the mean of IQ, guys more spread out.
That's very true.
That is true.
That's true.
And then B Stanford 81 says, yep, agree, though, although I tend to think I'm in the middle a little bit. But overall, yes, women think micro, men macro. Don Meeker, I am typically extremely macro. I often annoy the S out of men because they can't hang. And by the way, no, that happens. True. By the way, there's a there's a standard deviation. And then there's people that, that are outside of the deviation.
I get I'm usually in my natural state very macro. But when I go to a if I have to go to a social function, I prefer talking to the women on weekends if it's like some family thing, because I can't talk politics. I'm like, because you're
talked out.
But you're talked out. But you don't have the you're not necessarily at our level, right? So they're like, so do you think that Michelle Obama? I'm like,
yes,
dude. Like, please, I'd rather talk to the women. You know why? Because the women will tell me. My 9-year old. But the 9-year old, they'll be like, my 9-year old's getting trans by the local school board. And here's the five people I talked to and had coffee with. And the nine converse. And like, so that's really interesting, right?
Yes,
and the husband, and the husband's like, yeah, I heard about that. And that's wrong.
Yes.
And it's like, it's totally different. So it's, for me, that's way more interesting.
No, but I get the same thing because people know what I do for a living. And so they all come up to me and the men want to talk about the macro stuff.
Drives me crazy.
I totally get where you're, we've never talked about this. Yes. This is actually very interesting. I am the same way. I don't want to talk about like, is Trump going to win? That's the, you think we got a chance in 2024?
I want to just throw a drink in your face.
Like, yeah.
Go away.
But it is more interesting when the woman goes, I watched What Is a Woman? And I think I'm a Republican now.
Or the woman says, I'm having a really hard time with my 11-year-old daughter.
Yes.
And here's the thing she's dealing with. That's interesting.
But the tragedy is they do also forget about it faster, I think. Like, I know women who have just like seen that, like they'll see What Is a Woman and they'll be like, that's horrifying. That's so insane. And then they just kind of like, they get reminded that Trump is like, you know, orange bad man and just sort of.
Well, this, but this is an interesting conversation.
Same way they forget about Rome.
Say that again, Jay.
I said there's a really interesting green text about this.
There is a Dane Cook. You got to look at Dane Cook. Women never forget. Women have memories. Have you ever seen this?
Yes. Well, women never forget a slight. There's a caveat.
Oh, no. You got to get Dane Cook Circle of Fire. Oh, no, it's like Circle of Hell or something. It was by the way, what has happened to Dane Cook in the last? I haven't heard about him.
I used to see him at the comedy store.
He's a master of disguise. He's in disguise somewhere.
Scandal and kind of was like.
We got to bring Dane Cook back, okay? Because he was I don't care if he plagiarized. His delivery was excellent. If you could look up. I'll find it. Whoever was talking, finish your thought.
I saw him live like.
Well,
twice, I think.
We've been Dane very hard on Cook women this week. Will you agree, Charlie?
No, I think we've been fair.
I've just complimented
women.
No, I know. That's why I love the topic. We did. But the truth is right now, young women are going heavy lib while young men are going heavy conservative. The country would basically be, I don't know, 80%. Our government would be 80% Republican if it was just men voting. I mean, women tend to be more swayed by the Democrat message because it's geared towards emotional manipulation. Now, it's not 100% true one way or the other, of course. You still got Eric Swalwell, and he's a Democrat. The point I'm making, though, is that we've been very hard. But the strengths of women are something that we should pay attention to because we can message to them. We can single-issue vote to them. Like I'm just saying, it's a fascinating insight into it.
Men are different than women, and differences make life beautiful and worth living. I mean, this is obviously a male-oriented show. It's all men.
We've got a lot of women that are chiming in the chat.
Yes,
though.
Because women like seeing men lead, obviously. So, I mean, that's not a new phenomenon.
Do you want me to read this Lego thing that Jack found?
Yes, please.
All right, so this is take us maybe with a grain of salt. This is like a green text post on 4chan, which no women are on 4chan, so I should let you know. 4chan is a strange internet website with very special men on it. And this is a post. Lego did a study when they created the Lego Friends line for girls, where they discovered that when a boy plays with a toy, and oh, by the way, this is on the screen if they want to bring this up. When a boy plays with the toy of a character, he tries to become the character. When a girl does the same thing, she tries to make the character become her. So if you give a boy a Batman toy, he's going to want to know everything there is to know about Batman. He'll try to think and talk like Batman when he plays with the toy. Where are the drugs? The girl, on the other hand, is going to make Batman go shopping, bake cookies, go to the prom, the bat prom, I guess. That's not to say there aren't exceptions on both sides, but that's the data that allowed Lego to finally get a foothold on the girls' market after decades of failed attempts. Hmm. Now, if you look at how women approach things like Star Wars or remaking an animated movie, is it any wonder that so many of them want to reinvent the IP, intellectual property, either by feminizing it or changing the main character to look like them, which definitely is what they did with Star Wars, where it's just like,
100%
how can we,
real.
What if we made Star Wars except all of the most important people would look like a, you know, angry single 45-year-old woman.
Catwoman.
But she's now the admiral of the Resistance fleet.
All the evil people. Okay, so we're going to play this. It's a couple minutes long. It's worth it. You got to indulge me. This is, again, we've been maybe not, a little, Andrew says a little hard on women. Women win all the fights. Women control society. Okay?
I'm just saying locally to this show.
This is a fact. Women run the world. That's not, we live in a matriarchy.
Just look at Russell Brand.
Play cut 131.
Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you why women, you win 99.9% of all fights.
Yep. He's going to swear, just so we're clear.
That hair, huh?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why right now. Here it is. Because you are mental terrorists. You are brain ninjas. And you know how to get in there with your katana and just cut us and disappear into the night. I'm going to tell you right now, this is how they do it, guys. I'm going to help you so you know when it's coming next time and you know how to maybe try to stop this encounter from happening. This is what's going to happen. You're in the fight, okay? It's going back and forth. She's preparing to say a comment, okay? She's got a comment on tap that she's going to say. And it's the tiniest, it's just a little tic-tac-sized comment. But this is a fucking detonator. And she's gonna say it, and it's gonna go deep into your cerebellum, and it's gonna sit there. And at some point, 3 days later, 30 days later, it's going to explode, rotting you from within. I'm telling you right now. She's gonna say this comment, and here's when you know it's coming. Physically, I can show you when it's coming right now. This is the physical movement that she's gonna give to you. If you're saying, Dane, how do I know? How can I prepare myself? Here's when it's gonna happen. During the argument, there's gonna be a point where she's gonna stop and change her game up. The minute she starts agreeing with everything you're fucking saying, look out! You are in trouble, okay? And I'll show you physically what's gonna happen. You're gonna see her leg do this. The moment her leg locks like this, you've just driven into Fuckville. And she's the mayor.
It's on Rumble.
So she's locked. They're loving it right now. They're loving it. Now at this point, she's going to start agreeing with everything you're saying, and that's bad. The moment you start hearing her go, you know what? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I don't even know. Why would I even know? Because you're the czar of right. And we're all just floating in a sea of wrong as you go by in your ship of right. Just please tell me, throw me a lifeline so I know. You're right. I didn't even know if I'm right about this. I could be wrong about right now, but you know. Why don't you tell me if I'm right right now? Right there. The minute she starts hitting you with that, you better be prepared because there is a fucking torpedo in the water. And it's coming to get you. Okay, so physically, here's what she's gonna do. She's gonna lock the leg, and then after she's done with her little you're right, she's gonna do something with her hand, with her arm. And it's always different, but it involves touching her own face and then doing some kind of windshield wiper movement. She's gonna vary it up, and it's gonna be something like this. And look for this. That's bad. No, you go ahead. Now, here's what she's gonna do. She's gonna pivot her body. She's gonna pivot, and then she's going to take 3 to 5 steps. 3 to 5. 3 to 5, and she's gonna slow down. She's gonna cock her head to the left. She's gonna say the comment. She's gonna say the comment, and here's the thing. There'll be no emphasis. It'll be very subtle. It'll almost be a whisper. And why is that? To make you listen. And it is going to be a destroyer of worlds. It's something like this, right? She does the thing. She's going to turn, and then she's going to go like this. Well, you're stupid like your father.
Oh.
And at first, that means nothing. At first, we laugh at it. You say it, you walk away, we're like, what does that even mean? Bye. We have no idea that you just fucking ninja'd our brain. We're gonna be in the basement 40 minutes from then, just pacing. And it's gonna slowly start to seep in. We're pacing back and forth, thinking about it. Stupid like your father. My father's a brilliant man! You don't even know! Explosion.
All right. Sorry for the length. I wanted to just say that he's one of the great American. That's one of the great 5 minutes of all of comedy. All right. We want to talk about bioptimizers. Bioptimizers, amazing. Magnesium. Most Americans are magnesium deficient. You guys got to check out magbreakthrough.com/CJ show. Magnesium deficiency is a real thing that lots of people suffer from. So go to magbreakthrough.com/CJ show. Let me tell you that magnesium can help you have a better mood, chill out, relax. I make sure I get my magnesium, especially right before bed. If you wake up exhausted, you are probably magnesium deficient. So check it out. Ever since I started adding Magnesium Breakthrough to my nightly routine, I get to bed immediately. It's not even a question. Magbreakthrough.com/CJ show to save 10% off. So let's get to our favorite topic, SPQR, Blake.
Okay. All right. So we're going straight to the deep web reveal. It's very important. We wanted to hit this last week. It would have been a much more deep web reveal if we'd gotten there last week.
Now
it's more like kiddie pool web reveal.
Okay.
It's gotten way more popular. But we have to go around and we have to figure out how often each member of our panel thinks about the Roman Empire, which SPQR is the Roman Republic. That's the Senate. Now. We're talking about the Roman Empire specifically. And so, you know, I should probably just go first because I insisted that we bring this up. I think about the Roman Empire every single day.
Oh, me too. So here's the Guardian headline. Women across the world are asking men how often the ancient civilization pops into their head. And the answer is frequently startling, theguardian.com. So where did this come from, Jack? Why all of a sudden are women so fascinated that we love Rome?
Well, I would just like to also point out that Blake thinks about Rome so much that he has literally been requesting it every single episode as the deep web reveal since we started the entire series. He's like, so we should talk about Rome this week, guys. Like, Blake, why are we talking about Rome? He's like, because
it's important.
We should talk about Rome because it's very serious. It's
why
very
would
simple,
we not
as,
talk
as
about
as
Rome? It is important. It is extremely crucial.
Rome is the eternal city. Rome was the capital of the entire world at one point. They conquered everything, the entire known world. It is the country and the civilizational accomplishments that we continue to base almost everything in our society off of. People say it's just plumbing. Ha, that's a joke. That's ridiculous. Do you even understand that there are concepts in every contract that you sign that go all the way back to Roman law? Obviously not the days of the week, but the months of the year themselves. Do you want to know why October, November, and December? So when I was a kid, this used to bother me, right? I would say, well, you told me that oct meant eight and nuf or nov meant nine and then deca meant 10. And yet October, November, December, that's 10, 11, 12 of the month. So yeah, what's going on here?
We have a different starting month. That's why.
Well, and then because they added 2 months as well.
You're skipping past the important ones.
July and August are named after Julius Caesar and Caesar Augustus.
Caesar.
Our calendar, we had the Julian calendar. It's the entirety of leap years. That's from the Romans.
Then we have the real calendar, the Gregorian calendar.
Obviously, Christianity basically is a Roman Empire thing.
Well, but like we get Cicero from Rome and this idea of common law. We get the idea of due process. We get the idea of a republican form of government. Not to mention their military prowess, strength. The greatest stoicist ever to live, Marcus Aurelius, was the last of the great emperors, right? Not to mention Julius Caesar is objectively one of the most amazing historical figures ever. Love him or hate him, he's like Donald Trump.
Stoic.
Julius Caesar wasn't a stoic, but he was incredible.
I meant that on the list.
Yes, Aurelius.
Aurelius.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I think about Rome all the time, Blake. And yeah, women are fascinated. I mean, by the way, you know that the political people are like, and this is why they're right-wing fascists.
Yeah, and you know, and it's always like it's the longest lasting empire that existed in certainly the Western world and basically ever for that matter. And I guess you could throw in Egypt or some nonsense. Ignore them. So, you know, it lasts ages. It has like a very well-documented rise, a very well-documented decline and fall. So everyone's always thinking like, is America like, you know, are we going to collapse the way Rome did? No, we're going to collapse far faster.
Yeah, we're collapsing, actually.
More embarrassing
fashion. We're in the midst of that
collapse.
How
many years was Rome a thing?
474.
Rome was a thing.
And we're at
Rome, as in terms of being the most powerful country in the world, Rome was the most powerful thing going for about 600 years, I would say.
Yeah. So, but what are we at? 240?
Rome was 482.
482 tech, yeah, right? But we're at
476. 476 is when the Western Empire.
Well, maybe Mark Levin is wrong.
He is wrong. And if we're counting it
from
the East, if we're counting it from the East, you know, Rome goes till 1453.
True.
1453.
So they have a very, very long run of being very, very powerful.
America will become Brazil 2.0, so something will keep going.
Yeah, and, you know, that happens to Rome in the sense that kind of Rome becomes, Rome itself, the Eternal City, does become this big million-person melting pot of every culture, and as a result, it becomes incredibly corrupt and decadent, and then a bunch of Visigoths show up, and they sack it, and I would say they kill everyone, but actually that's not true. They just kind of steal everything.
So, Jack, you know why they call it Rome, right?
Because of Romulus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the story of how Rome came to be. No, it's not.
I thought you were setting up like a weird joke.
I thought it was
like,
a trick question.
All, all roads totally lead to Rome, so they named their city that, so then all the roads
were
Rome.
No, just...
That's what the road...
Yeah, you know.
It started with a single... kind of regional guy, and it just caught on incredibly quick.
Rome started as one small town, and it
and
grew to encompass.
But it wasn't
seven
built
hills.
In a day.
It's really more like four hills, and they just kind of cheat and say this one hill is like several hills.
When I visited Rome, I was blown away. It's one of the best cities.
The Roman Forum is
incredible.
That legitimately blew me away. Weren't you just talking about the Roman Forum, Jack?
Well, so I took my son to Rome for his fifth birthday a couple of months ago. When we were on our way back home from speaking in Budapest earlier this year. Tanya stayed back to visit with family. So my five-year-old and I, we spent his fifth birthday. We did Rome. We went to St. Peter's. We did just everything. We did everything to do in Rome. We did for basically the weekend, just him and I. And then even his school backpack is from Rome. He even has a little statuette of the Colosseum that he just carries around with him pretty much all around the house. And he just absolutely fell in love with Rome. And then when we got to the roadway of the emperors, and we were looking at the ruins of the Forum, and of course the statues are there, the statue of Augustus Caesar, the statue of Julius Caesar. He was really, really fascinated with the architecture and then the photos and depictions of how Rome looked at the time versus the ruins that he could see now. And he could understand, even at 5 years old, that he was looking at a picture of what something was versus what something is now. And he even asked me, he said, "Dad, are they ever gonna make it back?" And I was like, "One day, son." Actually, funny enough, when we were out front of the Colosseum that night, I just got gone to take him and got him some strawberry gelato. And I'm FaceTiming with Tanya, just kind of let her know we're there, you know, show her some cool pictures. And of all people, this motorcade just flies by us on in the middle of the street, you know, presidential level motorcade. I'm like, is this Giorgio Meloni? What's going on? Is the Pope around or something? But, you know, I didn't see the Pope mobile around, so I wasn't really sure. And you see presidential level motorcades in DC all the time, so I'm kind of used to them. And so I wasn't sure who it was at the time. Then I wake up the next morning and they say, Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky has made a surprise visit to Rome and landed last night. So I said, oh, great. Zelensky literally photobombed me while I was trying to take a picture of my son at the Colosseum. So there you go.
He haunts you.
Rome is the eternal city. But
answer the question, by the way. How often do you guys?
Every day. I mean, I have a bust of Marcus Aurelius in my office.
Okay,
I have Caesar crossing the Rubicon in my office, too. I have like tons of Roman paraphernalia.
We talked about this in the chat.
We're Roman Catholic, so that's pretty, like, we pray.
I was
Latin
born
every
Roman
day.
Catholic, so there's that.
And you'll come home eventually.
You don't think about Rome.
And we constantly, constantly think of Rome.
No.
No,
I think of Rome. So it was funny. You were like peppered me with questions in the chat. You were like, I was like, I don't get it. Like, but
he doesn't get it.
I know. But then you started asking me, I was like, well, I watched the documentary. I, you know, the documentaries, multiple. I think I even watched the HBO show about it, right? At least some of the episodes. I
Made
think
by
about
Amanda
it
Milley's
a fair
father.
Amount. Do you watch Gladiator?
Know, do you even know who Claudius was?
Yes. He was he slept with his sisters.
He's wrong. He doesn't know who Claudius is, guys.
Caligula or Claudius?
Oh, Caligula. I'm thinking about Caligula. Yeah.
No,
sorry.
Wrong guy.
No, I think I know who Claudius is. Give me a hint. Give me a reminder.
Claudius is the one who's like was like disabled, and also he has the whole novel about him, I Claudius.
Nope.
And they got the BBC documentary.
Don't know that one.
Disappointing.
I know. I don't think about
it
all
the time. Do you know
Tiberius? Yes.
Who's Tiberius?
Tiberius was the second emperor.
Yeah, I was going to say that I knew
he
was an emperor, but
Caesar Augustus.
What's he famous for, though?
Not crossing the Tiber.
No, Tiberius is the Jeffrey Epstein emperor. He was on Capri with like molesting and eating all the little boys.
I admitted this is not my strong suit. I don't think about it all the
time.
You're
picking on Andrew.
I know,
no, but
fair.
No,
it's fun to pick
fair.
On Andrew.
It's
all right. Charlie, now, this is one almost everyone's going to know. Even women are going to know this. Do you know who Maximinus Thrax was?
I don't even know who Maximinus Thrax is.
You guys are killing me. They don't know who Maximinus Thrax is, everyone. All of you guys
know. In the audience, do you know Maximinus Thrax?
Everyone in the audience knows who Maximinus Thrax is, guaranteed.
I mean, listen, I know about Caesar. I know about the triumvirate. I know about the, you know, I know about the
two of them.
Oh, there were two of them. See, I know about the Caesar
the first one,
with the
Pompey,
Pompey
Caesar, and yeah.
Who was the third of the triumvirate?
Mark Antony.
No, that was the second one.
That was the second one.
It's Crassus. Yeah, Crassus. The third man. He got gold poured down his throat.
Yeah, I watched the Netflix.
But Mark Antony was in the second triumvirate.
Yeah, second one was Octavian Antony and a dude named
Lepidus. It's been a while. It's fuzzy now. But I, you know, listen. The point is, I am an appreciator, but I'm not the guy that thinks of Rome every day. I just not.
Killing me.
Yeah, so it's so funny. When this came out, I think about Rome every day, but I didn't realize I consciously think about Rome as much as I think about Rome until this thing came out. I was like, yeah, of course, we think about Rome all the time.
Yeah, I don't have this.
Was he just women didn't
like, when,
know?
When that's Elon Musk was going to fight Mark Zuckerberg, where were they going to fight? They were going to fight in the Colosseum. And
That would have been epic.
It would have been
this,
epic.
Yeah.
It should have happened.
And then Mark Zuckerberg said, well, he's obviously not serious about it, so like it's over. And I was like, Why don't you just wait until he says his surgery is done and then do it anyway?
He should have just invited Elon Musk to like a tech event in Rome and then just come out and be like, I'm ready to go. Let's go to the Colosseum.
Well, like, yeah.
Just ready to go.
Andrew, it's not about necessarily knowing like every piece of trivia about Rome. It's about, could you imagine yourself in gladiator armor walking into the Colosseum to do battle with Mark Zuckerberg?
No, but here's the thing. I mean, I would put Gladiator as one of probably my top 10 movies.
Look at him.
But
he wants to say yes. Look at him.
You know, listen, I'm an appreciator. I genuinely don't think of Rome every day. I don't. So there you go.
It's crushing me. It's crushing
me. But
I think
like
of our border line. Every day.
It's not
straight
thinking
up.
About Rome. It is the dream that was Rome. Right, Charlie? It's about the dream that was Rome. That
well,
was
especially
in a whisper.
Yeah, especially the Republican style of government.
Now, here's the deeper cut. How often do any of you think of the Byzantine Empire? That's like Rome, the sequel.
Increasingly much. Because
I think
hashtag
about it almost as much as Rome.
Constantinople hashtag land back.
Again, this goes to show micro versus macro. Women are not thinking about ancient civilizations because that's very macro.
It's 700 years
Turks. You think we forgot?
I genuinely think of things like the southern border every day, though.
That's macro.
And like, you know, it matters, you know.
And women think about grocery shopping.
The desire to restore the Roman Empire did probably destroy Russia, and that's probably why we have the Ukraine war right now.
Cause set in motion. All right, everybody, email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Download the Rumble app. We'll be live tomorrow at 12 Eastern. Jack follows us. God bless you. Until next week, keep committing thought crimes.
Thought crime is death.